Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Jim Colony postgame show right here until 1 o'clock at 412-928-9370. Bob Pompliani here in the hot seat. And to my left behind the glass is the esteemed Joel Nelson, who will be taking the ones and the twos and doing all the good work. He's very prepared. I came in here. Everything's right in front of me, although he claims Jim helped a little bit, which that's nice combo effort, so I don't have to do as much. But it's nice to be with you on another beautiful sunny morning in Pittsburgh. It's cold, but it's not as cold as it's been the last couple of days. And by tomorrow, for game day of the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Cleveland Browns, it should be beautiful. Temperatures in the 50s this time of the year, which is nice. It'll feel like 80 since we were into 20s. You know how that works. Anyway, I just want to remind you that our fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And our show is brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24-7 with Expressway at cochran.com. PNC Bank, Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, and Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. If you're looking for a good golf simulator, by the way, it's cold. You want to do that? Go to 9 Yards Golf Lounge. It's in Washington. You may see them popping up elsewhere, too. It's a good place. Some outstanding technology at work for you. It's a good place to hang out with your friends. So check it out, 9 Yards Golf Lounge in Washington County. All right, we have a lot to get into today. And I know that everybody's going to want to talk about the Steelers, and rightfully so, because they are in the driver's seat in the AFC North, and they have a rematch with a team they should beat badly, I think. But I thought that the first time around. I just thought they were going to put that thing behind them where they just go to Cleveland on a Thursday night and lose. And that's exactly what they did. But I didn't see it. I thought they'd win easily that night just because of what was at stake. Well, the snow came, things started to change. There were some calls that were made by the coaching staff that I didn't agree with. Turnovers, these kinds of things do affect games. However, in this case, I think odds makers are onto something. They know this is not going to be, it shouldn't be anyway, that close of a game at the end. They're pretty heavy favorites, 6.5 points over the Browns. Normally, this is a 3-point game, 3.5, whatever. It's up to 6.5, and with good reason. Although, there is a little kink in the situation here, and that would be that George Pickens, as of yesterday, went on the injury list with a questionable hamstring. Now, just so you know, for context purposes, the NFL has done away with a probable distinction there. They don't have that. It goes from, will play, questionable, doubtful. There's no probable. So based on that, you would expect that George Pickens, and I got to believe he's going to play. Now, he has an ongoing feud here, it looks like, with Greg Newsome. And I don't know where that takes him. I hope George Pickens doesn't get distracted as he did in the first game where he took himself completely out of the final play of the game. But those are the things that are going to happen in that game. I guarantee you they're going to try to get under his skin. How he responds will play a big part in this. The other thing is that, there were a lot of penalties called last week. And I'll say this about Joey Porter. His style of playing cornerback is a good one. He's on top of guys all the time. Now, some officials let you get away with it, just like you know, holding calls just about every play. They're not going to call them all, so they won't call them all on Joey Porter, even though it seemed like they did last week in Cincinnati when he was involved with T. Higgins. So I would expect him to continue to not lose his confidence, play the same way he's playing, and let's see what kind of officiating crew we have here tomorrow. Because, again, he's been doing that pretty much all year. He gets away with it a lot, but he also makes plays a lot. And that's why I think he's got the right attitude to play that position. 412-928-9370 is the number to call here if you'd like to get in on this conversation. We'll talk about what you may expect in this game. We saw on Monday night that Cleveland threw the ball 58 times with Jameis Winston. And when you do that, you're going to get good and bad. The full Jameis experience was on display. 4 touchdown passes, almost 500 yards of passing. However, 2 pick sixes. Could have been 3 pick sixes. There were 3 interceptions, 2 returned. If you add up all the yardage that Jameis Winston put together in the pass game, not just his, but what he gave to them in terms of 2 pick sixes, you have almost 700 yards of passing. I don't know if they're going to throw the ball 58 times. I know one thing, they have not gone to Nick Chubb all that much. I don't know if he's still, you know, not 100% based on the surgery he had last year. I give him a lot of credit for coming back and doing all the rehab that he had to do that. But at the same time, I think they're not relying on him. Ford is a guy that they seem to, you know, at least share the wealth with. They have 2 pretty good running backs. I don't think they're still in the Steelers category when it comes to running backs by committee who I'd rather have. I still think Harrison Warren, along with Patterson, are a pretty good threesome back there. You know, they have some pretty good wide receivers. We saw Jerry Jeudy. I put up an unbelievable number. Most yards ever in the pass game against a team. It happened to be his former team. 235 on 9 catches. There were big plays all over the place. Cleveland say this. They have nothing to lose. They would get great gratification out of upsetting the Steelers and beating them twice in the same year for what would be the first time in like 32 years for that to happen. That's what they're going to play with. And the other thing you got to look at is, too, the battle between, even though they're not on the field at the same time, T.J. Watt versus Myles Garrett, who dominated that first game. There's no question about it. But it's encouraging to see what Dan Moore did the following week when he went to Cincinnati and he shut down Trey Hendrickson. They didn't have a whole bunch of help at times with him, but he did a pretty good job. So he bounced back, which is a good sign. And we'll see what Myles Garrett does this time, knowing that the Steelers should scheme up some help over there. And conversely, T.J. Watt, who was relatively silent in that game in Cleveland, what he's going to do, because if you know anything about his competitive fires, you know that he's going to want to make a little bit of a statement himself in this game. We have the game for you on KDK-TV. Want to remind you about some other programming notes concerning our television station. Tonight at 8 p.m., we will have Penn State and Oregon. That's going to be the big one in the Big Ten, the championship game, which has been met with a lot of controversy. A lot of people think sometimes it's not in your best interest as a team, given the 12-team expanded playoff, to have a championship game. What do you think about that at 412-928-9370? In this case, you get an opportunity to get a first-round bye, so there is plenty to play for, not to mention the bragging rights of beating Oregon and knocking them out of their perch as number one seed, potentially. We'll get into those college games coming up, but we'll have that game tonight at 8 on KDKA. We're also going to have, and I can't say it enough, we get calls all the time. The Christmas Day game will be on our station at KDKA. We purchased the rights of that one, so you don't have to go to Netflix to watch it if you're in the Pittsburgh DMA. So that's good. You'll have that, and we'll be working all day on Christmas Day. That's the one thing that I'm glad there's a big game, but at the same time, because it's Kansas City in time, I wish it wasn't on Christmas Day. But the NFL's there to make money, and they're going to make as much money as they can. 412-928-9370. We'll get into the Steelers and your breakdown. What do you think will happen tomorrow? Who do you think will be important for the Steelers? Corey Trice is back. Steelers sometimes use 6-7 defensive backs. That's a way, especially against a guy like Winston, if their front four can get pressure on him without the benefit of a blitz, that makes it very difficult on a quarterback to throw into all that congestion in the defensive backfield. So we'll see what that means. It could be over and under in turnovers, a lot of them in this game, and that's what the Steelers would like to have. We'll talk about that, George Pickens and others. I also want to throw this up because watching the Amazon Prime game, the Detroit Lions are now 12-1. They won a very, very good and entertaining game against Green Bay 34-31. But in that game, Dan Campbell went for 4 fourth down conversions, 4 of them. And the last one, to me, he's getting praise for because the situation was a tie game. He's already in field goal position But it was fourth and short, and he wanted to go for it so as not to give the ball back to Green Bay. But, again, they're already in field goal position. If they stop you, now you get nothing, and you have to go to overtime most likely. Or you're going to give them the ball with a little bit of time left. He wanted to not give them the ball. They executed. They got the first down. I still think that's a bad call to make. I do not like that call at all. I think it's too risky in that department. He's going to get praised for it. He's aggressive. Is he too aggressive? Let me know what you think at 412-928-9370. Bill Belichick may be in the game again, but maybe not in the NFL, which I still doubt because I think he has earmarked a chance to beat Don Shula's all-time record. For that to happen, he has to be an NFL head coach. Bill Belichick is interviewing and talked to North Carolina. Remember, there was a rumor out there that Arthur Smith, actually it wasn't, there was contact. Arthur Smith said so. We'll see where that goes, but Bill Belichick wants to bring back a lot of his staff members that he had in New England. Plus, he wants a plan in place so that his son Steve takes over when he's done as head coach of North Carolina. I don't know. That may be a lot to ask, and I don't know how Bill Belichick would do dealing with the recruiting aspects of all of this and what's changed and NIL and all that stuff. Plus, he's on TV now, and if it's anything like Bill Cowher, maybe he likes it a lot. Maybe he doesn't want to do that. We'll see. Arthur Smith, dark horse candidate to become the Jets head coach. That was, if you go back and you look at interviews that were done prior to their last opening when Robert Saleh got the job, it was Arthur Smith who was in discussions with them. Because Saleh got it, he ended up taking the job in Atlanta. At the time, he was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee when he had, one of the best running backs in the game in Henry. So things were going well there, got an opportunity as a head coach, but it was in Atlanta, not with the Jets. Could it be that this time he would go back there? We'll see. 412-928-9370. And the Penguins tonight, after a dismal effort last night in MSG against a team that just traded their captain in Jacob Trouba, they lose. And to me, they weren't all that competitive in that game. 4-2 was the score. So the Penguins now, we had 11-13-4, I believe their record is 26 points. Take on tonight a team that I think really is a Stanley Cup contender. Kyle Dubas' former team, Toronto's in town, 34 points at 16-8-2, and they got some big-time players. You know about Mitch Marner. You know about William Nylander, who has 16 goals. Their best player is still not in the lineup. He's been injured, and they're doing this without him. And so I think if you look at the reason they've done it so far is the one reason that Kyle Dubas probably lost his job in Toronto, the goaltending. Joseph Woll has been terrific at a .922 save percentage, and Anthony Stolarz with a .924 save percentage. Both guys have been very good. The one thing that was a stumbling block for Dubas in Toronto was goaltending consistency. So those two guys have given them a lot in Toronto, and we'll see what that game holds tonight. But it's a back-to-back game. It's not going to be an easy one for the Penguins, who lost last night 4-2. All right, 412-928-9370. Let's go to a couple calls here before we take a break here. Joel, let's start with Bill in Uniontown. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Yes, I'd like to talk about Russell Wilson. Didn't he sign for a one-year contract, like?
Yeah, it's the last year of what he had in Denver, which they're paying 99% of it, and the Steelers are paying like $1 million. They're paying $40 million or whatever it is. So, yes, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year, which leads to an interesting discussion about what his future holds and what he would want. All right, Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's go to Martin, also from Uniontown. We got a bunch of Raiders coming on here. What's up?
Hi, Bob. Hey, Bob, I'll tell you what. I look for the Steelers tomorrow to really beat down the Cleveland Browns tomorrow.
Yeah, they should, but that doesn't mean it's going to work that way. I thought that the first time around. I know a lot of people didn't, but Martin, I thought they were going to come out and put that to rest and do it in Cleveland, but they didn't. The last thing you want to have is them to lose to Cleveland in the same year and then try to convince people that they're a Super Bowl contender. Doesn't help.
I hope they win tomorrow, but I'm glad they won in Cincinnati. Now, I didn't think that game was going to be a high-scoring game, but kind of surprised me a little bit.
No. Thank you, Martin, for the call. That's not the case at all. It was going to be high scoring because Joe Burrow scores no matter what. It was a matter of and that to me was the biggest takeaway from that game, that they had an opportunity to match Joe Burrow, and they did. They had response drives, very outstanding in what they did there. Every time they had to make them, and the first play, first score of the game was a pick six, goes the other way. Cam Taylor-Britt steps in front of a falling George Pickens. A lot of people thought there should have been interference, including Gene Steratore. I guess that's the case, or at least hands to the face. Whatever the case, I think the fact that he was somewhat falling encouraged the official not to make that call. Whatever. The response was most important. They came right back and they scored after that 51-yard touchdown. And you might remember, it didn't take long. They had a couple of third-down conversions before it was Russell Wilson to George Pickens, a 17-yard score. So they immediately did that. Joe Burrow came right back. They moved down the field. Chase Brown had a 40-yard big hookup, a run, led to a Brown touchdown, 14-7 they led. Immediately comes back Russell Wilson on a 10-play, 70-yard drive, 23-yard touchdown over the middle to Calvin Austin. Same play they did in Cleveland the week before. And then it again goes the other way. Burrow to Chase, 4-yard score. That's after Joey Porter was called for two penalties on the same play, I believe. That was the drive, 9 plays, 70 yards, 21-14, but they immediately answered that. It went back and forth. No punter was needed. 5 plays, 68 yards, Harris touchdown. That was after we saw a couple of big plays, including a face mask that was called against Najee Harris. I mean, they ripped around his helmet. That gave them an opportunity to move the ball down. And then there was a roughing penalty, whatever the case. My point is the Steelers responded, and that's when the defense finally stood up right before halftime, and a strip sack by T.J. Watt led to the game-leading points at that point. So good. That was, to me, the biggest development of the game. If your defense can be on the field or on the bench a lot, you give them some rest, and your offense can put together drives and score in the red zone, which was a problem, but not last week. You have a good thing going. 412-928-9370. The caller brought up Russell Wilson. What do you think about Russell Wilson in terms of what happens after this year? He just turned 36. He'll be 37 during the season next year. Does he want to stay? It's a good fit. How much will it take to keep him to stay? And what do you do with Justin Fields if that situation, they're going to be ongoing because they're both at the end of contracts? What do you do if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers? 412-928-9370. You know it's a big game when Jim Nance, Tony Romo, coming into town for this one. Tracy Wolfson's going to be on the sidelines. It's a big game, and the Steelers got to take advantage of it. At home, 1 o'clock, it's also Hall of Honor weekend for the Steelers. Some great guys going into that Hall of Honor. Big dinner coming up tonight. I saw Casey Hampton the other night. And by the way, happy birthday to my broadcast partner, Charlie Batch, 50 years young. Looks much better than that, but 50 hits you quick. And then before too long, you'll be at 60. So enjoy those days, Charlie. But Casey, you look great. He'll be there getting part of the honor here tonight. 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show. We're live sports radio, 93.7 The Fan.